Standing nurseries, dismissing to go down in the back. If the children would like to go down, they can. If they want to stay here, they don't bother me one bit. And if they bother you, you need to get on the altar. Amen. I mean that wholeheartedly. Church that don't have children's a dying church. Amen. And let me tell you something. When your body regenerates itself, sometimes it gets unruly. Amen. You got to just deal with it and take care of it. That's the way the house of God is. That's the way the body of Christ is. Amen. It's going to regenerate. Sometimes things get a little out of sort. You know, I got to get my hair with you. I got left. Amen. I got to get them cut every now and then. If I don't run a razor across my face in the morning, you know, things just want to grow out. Pretty soon I look like Joe back there. Amen. Amen. Or George. Somebody. But you know, the thing of it is, you know, we got to keep on top of things, and that's the way it is in the house of God. We just got to appreciate the children. Amen. And I love them, everyone. Turn in your Bibles this morning with us into John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. I know I didn't shake hands with the biggest part of you this morning. Please don't be offended. But there is a bug that's been going around, and so many people in our church have had it. I'm not worried about catching it, but Miss Deb has to have surgery in the morning. We ask your prayers for her. She's got a gallstone about that big around. It's about to kill her, and they're going to birth it in the morning. Amen? So it's a big one, and her back has been hurting her so bad for a long time, and they finally figured out that this is what it is once she got sick here a couple weeks ago. But pray for her. And we're not trying to be snobbish or standoffish or anything like that. You know, I love to shake hands with everybody. And I try to make it a point to shake hands with everybody in the service before the service starts. And if I miss you, I'll come after a choir and try to get you if I see you. But we're not trying to be that way this morning. Just don't want anything to hinder. She begged the doctor on Thursday when she went to see the surgeon. She begged him to do it Friday, and he couldn't. But he squeezed her in tomorrow. And she don't want to miss that window of opportunity by getting there in the morning and having a temperature or something going on and them not wanting to go ahead and do it. So please pray for her in the morning if you would. Had several calls this morning and several messages of folks that are out sick with the bug and stuff. So keep them in prayer and just lift them up before the Lord. And you can look around you and see there are quite a few missing, and the regulars, you know who just about is missing. But pray for them. Pray for Brother Adam. He had to go for requalification this morning for his emergency medical services. So just something that he does. And I appreciate Brother Adam. I appreciate those folks that volunteer their time. Amen. And allow themselves to be used. But just pray for him. He had to requalify today. So just lift him up before the Lord. And just pray for the many others. I know there are many needs and many prayer requests that have gone forward. Keep Brother Tom Bender in your prayer. I just found out before the service as well that he's in the hospital, and they don't have him in a room yet as of that moment. But just lift him up in prayer and just pray that God will just meet the need that he has. Amen. And I know God's the one that can meet the needs. Amen. He's the only one that can meet the needs, and we just thank God for that this morning. If you found John chapter number 21, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and we honor the reading of God's Word. I want to thank our visitors for being here, and some I've seen that were here last week have come back again this Sunday, and I really appreciate you, because after hearing me one time, you've come back again. That means a whole lot to us, and we just appreciate that. And again, I tell our visitors all the time, we don't take it lightly when you come to visit with us, and we just appreciate you being here. Please feel free to worship. We worship the Lord the way the Bible says so. We was talking about that this morning. But in John chapter number 21, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were 200, they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Brother Woody Fannin, would you take us to the throne of grace this morning? And you may be seated. Don't you just love it when the Lord shows up? Amen. That's why I love to come to the house of God. And not that God is exclusive to this place or to a church somewhere. God can meet with his people anywhere. God can show up with the individual. God can show up with the small groups. But I love when we come to the house of God and we come to worship and our hearts and minds are centered upon him. And he shows up in the service and he blesses our heart and he speaks to our lives and he begins to allow us to experience the joy of just being in his presence. And that's what the disciples were experiencing here in this text that we read. After they had just witnessed Jesus appear to them in the upper room, after Thomas had had his confirmation of Jesus being alive and who he was, that he had done what he said he was going to do, after these things, they decided it was time to go on about business as usual. And you know, that's what we do. We go about our lives and we go through business as usual. The Bible gives the parable. Jesus taught the parable of the rich man who was going away. Excuse me. And he told his disciples to tarry until I come. Go about business until I return. Amen. And you know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're looking for another world. Amen. We're pilgrims and strangers. The Bible teaches us on a journey through this low land of sin and sorrow, looking for our heavenly home. Our affections, our hearts, and our desires are set on the things above. And we got to tarry until he comes. Tomorrow morning, well, not tomorrow morning, but most mornings I get up just a little bit before 5 and I get ready and I go to work, and I'm generally at work sometime between 5:30 and 20 of 6, and I go through the routine of my daily life. I come home, I've got a routine, I got things that I have to do. I've got people that I need to see and people that I need to meet for different reasons, and then I got things that the church requires. I mean, I take care of, I'm just going through the routine of life. I'm tarrying here, but I'm looking for Him. Amen. I'm tarrying here, but I look forward to the times when I get to meet with Him. And praise God, I just love it when He shows up. Amen. Sometimes I'm alone, I'm out on the tractor, out on the skid loader, or somewhere out where nobody can bother. I love to mow simply because the noise is around and I don't have to I can't hear this thing, that phone, when it goes off. Amen. I love it when the equipments are running and I can't hear anything, and she hollers at me and I can't hear her holler, and she want me, somebody's wanting me on the phone, somebody's wanting this or wanting that. It's just peace and quiet with all the noise going on. Amen. But sometimes I'll be out just working, and especially if I'm down back where you can't really see anything, and I'm working, and I get to thinking on the Lord, and I get to dwelling on the Lord, and praise God, He shows up. Amen. He shows up just for me. Amen. He shows up just for my benefit. He shows up just to be a blessing, and I love it when the Lord shows up. I love it when we get together in the house of God, and the Lord shows up, and hearts get stirred. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought and on this wise of the presence of the Lord. Oh, how precious it is. Amen. The precious of the presence of the Lord. First, in verses 3 to 8, we see something that's very important. Amen. And something that we need to really realize. In verse 3, it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Aren't you glad He's never too far away from His people? Amen. Jesus stood on the shore after all these things, after Jesus had appeared unto them in the upper room, after Jesus had confirmed unto Thomas and confirmed unto them all His great power and who He was. After these things, they're going about life, and yet He's not too far away. Amen. Yet He's looking on and He's seeing what's going on. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Praise God. You know what Job said? He said, the Lord, He hung Pleiades and Orion in the sky. He set the earth upon its foundation, and yet He can pass by me and I not even perceive that He's there. Yet He can be near me and I don't even know it. I'm not even aware that I'm in harm's way, and He's there, and I'm ready to fall, and He's there. He's waiting to catch me. Praise God. I don't always have to know it, but praise God, it's good to know that He is there. Amen. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. He's one that said He would never leave us nor forsake us. But praise God, they knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, had ye any meat? And they answered Him, no. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast the net, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from the land, as it were, 200 furlongs, dragging the net with them. Praise God, I'm glad when He shows up. You might not be aware of who it is, but when He shows up, He wants you to know that He's there. Amen. When He shows up in your time of need, they were still going, no doubt, through the agony, through the time of being distraught and being discouraged because of things not happening the way that they were excited because the Savior had risen. The Savior was alive, but we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. We don't know what we're supposed to be going forth and doing here. The Lord, He's left us. The Lord, where's He at? And then He shows up. Amen. He's not too far away. He's looking on them. He sees their need. And He asked this probing question. He asked this piercing question. He asked this confirming question. He said, children, have you any meat? Has Jesus ever showed up in your life and asked you what your need was? Has Jesus ever showed up and wanted to know what your shortcomings were? Where you was lacking maybe in your faith? Where you was lacking in your hope? Whether you was lacking in your need? And praise God, it made you stop and think and realize only He can do what He can do. Amen. Only He can know. Amen. Only He can know. The children, have you any meat? They said, no. Amen. He shows up. He comes into the church service and he says, Brother Woody, do you have everything you need? I tell you what, when it comes to Jesus, I never have enough. Amen. Do you have everything you need? No, I want some more. I want some more, Jesus. I want a little more of you. And then what's he do? He says, I tell you what. He says, you're coming up short. He says, you find yourself lacking. He said, cast your net on the other side. Amen. I want you to know that you can know, that you can know, that you can trust in me. Have you ever asked Jesus for something and been in a place where there was no one else and no way else that the need could be met? Right. And Jesus showed up, yeah, and He just wanted you to know that He wanted to meet your need. Yeah. Amen. And He said, cast the net on the other side. Right. You've been trying it this way. You've been doing it this way. You've been working at it this way, and you're getting nowhere. He said, try it my way. Sometimes the disciples have been through this earlier. They said, well, Lord, we fished all night. We know what we're doing. How many of you know what you're doing? Amen. 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 Some of us think we got it all figured out. We know all about it. Amen. And then Jesus shows up and says, won't you try it my way? Won't you try this? Well, that just don't sound, what's the difference? What's the difference if I got the net on the right side or I got the net on the left side? Let me tell you what the difference is. Because Jesus said so. Amen. Because Jesus said so. Amen. You go to the doctor and you find out I've just been overwhelmed and inundated with the folks that are telling me that they're hearing the diagnosis of cancer here lately. And you go to the doctor and you hear the word cancer and immediately you begin to think in and of yourself, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to cope with this? How am I going to work around all this? And how am I going to make this happen? And Jesus shows up and says, just trust me. Amen. Amen. Just trust me. Just do it my way. Amen. Just listen to what I'm telling you. I've got the answer for what you need. Ain't that right, Sister Tanya? Amen. He sends us doctors and He sends us nurses, but He wants us to trust Him. Amen. He wants us to depend on Him. And when they depended on Him, when they trusted in Him, and they cast the net on the other side, praise God, He just didn't show up to tell them, well, I'm Jesus and I'm here and I'm standing on the bank. He showed up that confirm unto them that He was who He said He was and He could do what He said He could do. Amen. I'm thankful for the confirming presence of Jesus in my life. I'm thankful for the times I've been at the end of the rope. Amen. I've been at the end of the rope and all I had to do was let go and trust Him. Amen. And He confirmed His presence in my heart and in my life. He gave me that peace that passed understanding. I'm so glad that when I have fell so far and I've gone so deep that I can't go any further. You know, when you get down, you can dig and you can dig and you can dig. But when you hit rock, amen, you've come to as far as you're going to do any digging, amen. Then it's blasting. Amen. It ain't digging then. It's drilling. It's blasting. It's something else. But praise God, I'm glad when I hit rock bottom, I know who my rock is. Amen. He confirms His presence. He confirms who He is to me. And I'm thankful for that. I tell you, friends, if you're here this morning and you're finding no satisfaction, you're finding nothing fulfilling, you in your life, and you're searching and you're seeking, and Jesus is asking you this morning, are you satisfied? And you can say no. He wants you to know that He's the one that can satisfy. Amen. Amen. He's the one that can fill that longing. He's the one that can fill that emptiness. He's the one that can take over in that hurt. He's the one that can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, because He's Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm not only thankful that He shows up. Amen. He's here this morning. Amen. I'm thankful that He not only shows up, amen, and confirms that He's done made it on the scene.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Confirms that He's alive and well. He confirms. I tell you, we get so many of our friends of other denominations, and they get all wrapped up in the Spirit, and they get all wrapped up in the Holy Ghost, and they get all wrapped up in this and that. I want you to know something. I'm glad when Jesus shows up in the form of the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. He said He would testify of me. Amen. And I'm glad when He shows up, I know it's Him. Amen. I'm glad when He shows up. I have no confusion. I have no question about who it is and what's going on. Some folks, they argue about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and the holy this and the holy that. Let me tell you what. When the Holy Spirit shows up, Jesus said He would testify of me. And when He testifies of Him, Brother Woody, praise God, I know who He is and where He is and what He's doing. Amen. Heard a fellow one time say, made it real simple. You know what the difference is between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? When you're living right, Spirit bears witness to Spirit. Amen. They that worship God worship in spirit and in truth. When you're living right and your heart's right with God, praise God, the Holy Spirit shows up and He ministers. And you begin to worship and you begin to fellowship together. I bet you get outside of the will of God and you see who shows up. Amen. The Holy Ghost will show up and He'll haunt your house. Amen. Until you get yourself right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad when He shows up, He makes Himself known and He makes Himself evident. But praise God, I'm glad in His presence. There's sustaining power. There's sustenance. There's a sustaining presence about Him no matter what we're facing and no matter about what we're longing and struggling for. Look here at verses 9 to 13. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Praise God. Then Jesus cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Look at this. I want you to know something. Jesus was already there. He knew where they were. He knew what their need was. Amen. He told them, hey, if you just drop your net on the other side, ye shall find. Praise God, I like that. You might not, it's not you might find. You can hope to find. He said, ye shall find.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Dr. Craig Edwards, you know he's one of my heroes. And I know we don't lift up men, but I appreciate the stand that he takes. I appreciate the word that he preached. I love Dr. Craig Edwards. And if you ever met him, you'd fall in love with him too. He's just a great man of God. But him and Brother Steve Nisley were in North Carolina, and they were out running coon dogs one night. And it just so happened they got their dates mixed up, and they were running coon dogs one day before the season opened. And they're both big coon hunters. I mean, they love to hunt raccoons at night. They come up my place and they'll run them coon dogs and treat them coons. Hey, man, I need to get him up here. I got a few around that are are wreaking havoc in my barn, aren't they, Brother Jim? Amen. But let me tell you something. One night they were out hunting, and the daggone game warden caught them. Amen. And they were in another county from where Brother Craig normally hunts, and the game warden didn't know them. And he looked at them and said, "Boys, you got them dogs out here running. You hunting coons?" Brother Steve says, "Yeah, we're hunting coons." He looked at Brother Craig and says, "Your dogs are running. You hunting coons?" Brother Craig said, "No, mine are finding." Amen. That dude gave Brother Steve Nisley a ticket and let Brother Craig go. Amen. I'll tell you what. When Jesus tells you you're going to find, it makes a difference. Amen. That's a true story. That's a true story. Amen. When Jesus tells you you'll find, you'll find. Amen. And when you believe you're going to find, you're going to find. Amen. And when you believe that He's able and you realize who He is, praise God, then you want to get as close to Him as possible. And the first thing they done was they caught these fish and they began to make their way to the shore. But when they got there, they find out that the Savior had already made divine provision to sustain them. Amen. They've been laboring all night. They've been working hard. They were weak and they were weary. It had been a long night and it had not been productive. I tell you, I don't know if you've ever tried to do something and it just seemed like every step you took, you was taking two steps backwards and the production, you just can't be productive in what you're trying to do. You know, yesterday morning, I had a funeral yesterday afternoon. I asked you to pray for this family. I didn't know this till after the funeral. They didn't disclose it. But I preached a funeral for a little stillborn baby. And I told the folks this morning in Sunday school class to pray for this family. But this young lady was raped. And she chose to carry this baby. You know, in a world when everybody just thinks unborn children should be thrown away or they're an inconvenience or they're a problem, she chose to carry this baby. She carried it to full term and it was stillborn. Not only does she have the agony of how this baby was conceived to deal with, she has the agony of the loss of this child. And they're wanting, they're needing, trying to make sense of all that's going on. And I told them Jesus is the answer. But I know I had this funeral yesterday, and everything seems like everything I go to do, when I'm in a hurry, something always happens. Something goes wrong. So I asked my son-in-law to come up early. I asked my nephew, he come over and help me. And I got up early yesterday morning and went and I had to dig my well up, get down to the pitless adapter, the piece that goes down inside because it was leaking like crazy. Every time you turned the water on, it was just spewing air everywhere. And you could look down in the well and every time the pump kicked on, water was just squirting everywhere. And I pulled it Friday night and tried to put a new O-ring, tried to seal it, said, "Lord, yeah, just get this thing to work." It wouldn't work. So Friday night, I'm running around gathering everything up to make sure I have everything there. So we get this done. And you know what happened? The Lord showed up. I said, "Lord, you know what I got to do this afternoon? Lord, you know I'm busy, and you know how things normally go for me. Amen. Lord, you really keep me humble. You know, Lord, keep you humble. Amen. I said, Lord, you really keep me humble, but today I need your help." And you know what? We pulled that thing out, pulled that sucker out. I mean, everything happened just like it needed to do. You know, after I got done, I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." You know what? He sustains us no matter what our need is. I just needed help for things to go right so I could get the well fixed. Amen. And you know what? He was there. But before I even asked, he already knew that he was going to be. Before they got to shore, he already had the coals going. He already had the bread and the fish on the fire. Before they got there, he was already ready to meet their need. And as they come to the shore, he gave them the invitation, "Come and dine. Come and dine." Amen. You know what he wants to do for you? He wants to sustain you. He wants to meet your needs today. He says, "Come and dine." Amen. And look at this. Look at this. I think it's down there, about verse 13 or so. The Bible says that he took and he gave them bread and fish. Amen. He gave, let me go read that. Let me go find that here real quick. I think it's verse 13. And Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Yeah. Jesus said, I didn't come to do anything but to minister unto these people. The Lord of creation, the Lord of glory. He said, I've come to minister unto these people, unto all humanity. I've come to help them. To minister, by the way, for you don't understand that, in the biblical sense, it means to serve. Yeah. He was the one who came, he served as their teacher. And they taught it, and they listened as he taught the parables, and as he taught them things that he didn't teach any others, and that was a specific to them, and that was important for them to understand. He was their teacher. When they went into the upper room, and they had gathered there together to eat that Passover meal that Jesus desired to eat with them, the Bible says he took off his clothes, and he girded himself with a towel, and he began to wash their feet, and he showed them that he had come to serve, and he wanted to be a servant to all. When they took him out, and they crucified him, and they hung him on an old rugged cross, and he fulfilled the obligation that sin had required, that a man had brought death into the world, and a man must die to pay the debt of sin that we owed and that we couldn't pay. And he surrendered himself to the death of the cross and hung there on an old rugged tree. He did that because he was serving us who couldn't do for ourselves. When he rose from the grave, he arose victorious. He arose on our behalf. Amen. To remind us, he could have left and he could have rose and come back to life and went on to heaven and never revealed himself unto man.
Amen.
But he showed himself for who he was and the power that he had. That we might have the confidence, we might have the assurance. As Romans says that he rose for our justification, that we can be satisfied that God had accepted his offering, the offering of his ministering son.
Yep.
But get this. This is the part that really got me. He'd already done everything that he'd come to do, brother, would he?
Amen. That's right.
He come to prove that a man could not follow the law and fell in sin and brought sin into the world. But that through him, the second Adam, a man could walk in this world and be sinless. Amen. And fulfill the law of God. That's what he had come to do. Because of a man's sin and because man fell and the wages of sin is death and sin required a blood sacrifice, he came to offer himself up to be that blood sacrifice to die on that old rugged cross. And because man had no power, man could get no victory, man had no claim over death, hell, and the grave. He arose victorious to prove that a man obedient unto God could complete that. Everything that he'd come to do was done. He'd already been back to the Father. He'd already come back. But what's he doing? He'd already been to the glory world and no doubt heard his Father say, "Well done, my son." God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." No doubt, God the Father, and I don't know, this is just speculation. I looked at all of heaven and said, see, this is my son. He's completed. He's done. He's fulfilled everything that I required for the redemption of mankind. His work on earth is done. But where's he at now? Y'all ain't getting this. Where's he at now? He's still a-working. Amen. Amen. He's still a-serving. Amen. He's still a ministering, Brother Woody. He's still sustaining. He's still strengthening. He's still helping. And praise God, I'm glad that he is, because, you know, the psalmist said, I'm poor and needy, and yet thou carest for me. Praise God, there's not a more needy person on the face of this earth than I am, and I praise God. Amen. That he never tires. Amen. He never gets weary. Taking care of me.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I don't know. You ever experienced that, brother? He never gets tired of taking care of me. Hey, man. I don't know about you, but look on down. We want to hurry along. Praise God. I maybe should have just preached this as three separate messages. Amen. It's just good. Amen. Look at what he says. Now, this was the third time Jesus showed himself to disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my sheep. He saith unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. I want to speak to this most importantly tonight. I'm thankful for his confirming presence. I'm thankful for that confirming presence. And I'm sure today he's knocked at some hearts' doors. Amen. I'm sure today he's visited some lives here. Just to let you know that he's here and that he wants to be your Savior, that he wants to be your all in all, that he wants to give you everything, that he can give to you everything that you stand in need of. He's made himself available to sustain you, and all you have to do is invite him in. But praise God, I'm glad for his restorative presence. Peter's life was one that was tumultuous in many ways. His relationship, his spiritual walk. Sound familiar? Amen. I've been that way myself at times. And when they had that Passover meal in that upper room, and Jesus told them what was going to happen, Peter said, no, Lord. He said, I'm ready to go with you even unto death. I'm ready to die with you. And Jesus said, no, not this night, Peter. He said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. He said, the scripture says, smite the shepherd and the sheep will flee. And as they went out and as they went to the garden to pray that night, and as things began to transpire, the soldiers come. And as they took the shepherd, the sheep began to flee. The sheep began to distance themselves. The sheep began to disavow. Kind of reminds me of Brother Peter Sorokin. Some of y'all remember him. He was raised up in communist Czechoslovakia. He's a missionary that we support right now in Czechoslovakia and doing a great work over there. But he was sent to a labor camp during the communist regime. Brother Peter's about this tall, little short fellow. And when he gets ready to tell you when God's about ready to do something, he'll get ready to tell you something, and he just stops and he giggles within himself for a minute. He's going to tell you something. He's going to tell you a story. But you're going to see God do something amazing in it. And he just has that little giggle. He said, when I had to go into the labor camp when I was sentenced to do that hard labor, he said, they put you in barracks and with the work crews, and they had you all pinned up there together. And he says, I determined that when I went in there, I just wasn't going to tell anybody that I was a Christian, because this was a hard bunch of people that I was going to be around. And he got about that place and he went, had that little giggle within him. He said, I was there for about 3 weeks, and he said, I hadn't told anybody that I was a Christian. He said, I hadn't denied Christ in any way. He said, I still prayed. I still done the things I did. But I just didn't tell anybody that I was a Christian. He said, one night after work, he said, the men in my barracks, they all gathered around me. And they encircled me. And he said, I could see that this wasn't a good thing. And they says, we know there's something going on, because you don't act like everybody else. We drink our liquor. We make our homemade liquor, and you don't drink any of it. We gamble, and you won't partake of it. We do other things, and he could describe a lot of things to you, but a lot of ungodly things, and you have no part of it. He says, we think you're an informant. You're a plant. And we don't like informants. We don't like plants. Brother Peter said, I said, no, you got it all wrong. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, I belong to God, and I can't do these things because God's Word teaches me against it. Amen. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Amen. We look at Peter sometimes and we chide Peter sometimes because of his doubts and his fears. And when they ask him, you're one of them, he said, no, I'm not. And again, another said, you're one of them, he said, no, I'm not. And another said, you're one of them, your speech betrays you. And he cursed and he said, no, I'm not. But praise God, when Jesus showed up, he didn't show up and say, well, Peter, you denied me. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you really love me? Have you ever been there? You ever been to that place where you knew you needed to stand up? You know you needed to witness. You know you needed to say or do something and you didn't. And you felt guilty. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't come and condemn? Aren't you glad when the prodigal son come home, he didn't have to sit down and listen to a lecture from the Father? Amen. He didn't have to listen to somebody harp on him and tell him about all the things he'd done wrong when he made the decision that he made. The Bible says, when the father seen him afar off, he came running to him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him and hugged him and told him, said, put the ring back on his finger. Put my signature back on him. Put my authority back on him. He said, put some new shoes on his feet and put new clothes on him and clean him up. He said, my son was lost, but now he's found. He's done come home. He didn't condemn him, but praise God, in love, amen. He welcomed him in. Amen. He said, Peter, do you love me? If you've fallen today, if you failed him today, his presence is just the same. He's here to restore. Do you love me? Do you love me? If you want to get restored, if you want to have your heart right with Jesus, let him know that you love him. Let him know that he's everything to you. And then he said there, in, I think it's verse 18, he said, if you love me, it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, when you was young, you went wherever you wanted to go. You did what you wanted to do. He said, but when you're old, it's going to take you where you don't want to go. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some things to stand up with Jesus. It's going to cost you some things to be restored. Peter was like the top dog. Amen. Of all the apostles and all the disciples that were there, you know, Jesus kind of looked at Peter. He gave him that leadership position.
Yeah.
He was kind of at the top, and now he'd fallen.
That's right.
He'd fell. Jesus said, that's all right, Peter. He says to you today, that's all right, but do you love me? If you love me, are you willing to surrender some things to me? Are you willing to surrender yourself? See, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you everything. Amen? And then he says in verse 19, follow me. I'm thankful when I sin and God brings conviction to my heart. He just reminds me of my relationship. He reminds me of where I am.
That's right.
And he breaks my heart. Jesus asked Peter three times. The third time, Peter's heart was broken.
Yeah.
Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Peter, it's going to cost you everything. Are you willing to give that up? You willing to give all this up for me? You love me more than these, Peter? It's going to cost you everything.
Bless you, Lord. That's right.
Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Follow me. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation. Follow me.